I'm Trisha Helfer, and you are listening to After the Credits at row3.com.
It's been a long time coming since I've seen your face. I've been everywhere by trying to replace everything that I had till my feet went numb. Praying like a fool, it's been on the run. Heart's still beating, but it's not working. It's like a $1 million phone that you just can't ring. I reached out, trying to love, but I feel nothing. Yeah, my heart is numb.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits. I am your co-host, Brian Antunes, and joining me today, fellow co-hosts.
Colleen from tentart.wordpress.com.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and I haven't actually bought a domain yet.
So. Dale, the pressure is on. Can you beat that?
No, I can't. Dale from Digital Doodles in Dale42 on Letterboxd.
That's so funny because you are kind of like the tent goddess at this point.
Yeah. Oh, you know, this entire site is solely about me posting a picture and going, oh my God, look at it. It's awesome. I love this tent.
Well, I see them on Facebook. You are the tent goddess.
Yeah. Monday through Friday, at least one post a day. This tent is pretty.
I'm fairly certain that you are like the North American authority on Bedouin tents.
I bet you are.
I wouldn't go that far, but you know what? Tamira Disc Bell, I'm willing to bet I'm the only one on the planet who has built one in the last 400 years.
That's impressive.
And if people say my soul pad's just like that, I go, fuck you and your soul pad. It is nothing like a Tamira Disc Bell. But that's just me geeking out on tents.
Yes.
I'm a bit lost.
You lost me at Tamira Bill, whatever it is.
Tamira, damn Mongols.
I knew Tamira once.
Oh, I know of an author named Tamira.
Yeah, not in that way.
Yeah.
Was she a Turkish Mongol? Because okay, if it was, this is already Tamira would be good.
This is already at hand.
That might have been kind of hot, actually.
We're coming to you today.
You and your hordes.
We're coming to you today from Studio 43. In Port Coquitlam rather than North Vancouver. The one number off. It works. It's working.
One number and like 20 miles.
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't matter. It's Studio 43, damn it.
It's the remote location.
The remote location, you got it. We're the traveling road show. talking August previews, where did the rest of the year go?
I can't believe it's August already. It's just crazy.
I know, I'm stunned.
It wasn't like July felt like it had taken its time to come either.
Yeah, no, but it's just like, it seems like just yesterday we recorded a July preview and now we're here for August. It's like, what happened to the month?
It's because we're older.
Oh, God.
The closer to death, the faster it seems to go.
Great.
The dementia setting in.
Yeah, kids.
In spite of the coffee.
Yeah, here's what you have to look forward to. The feeling of impending death after the age of 20. Okay, well, let's jump right in because...
Yeah, try it when you hit 50. Come talk to me.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, you know what? This morning I read a long-winded article in LA. I think it was either the LA Times or the New York Times, an interview with Trent Reznor. He's 48. I nearly fell off my chair, rolled under a ball under the table, and went, why? Because I remember 95 very, very clearly. Okay, let's talk movies for a bit because we have other discussions.
There are teenagers that are living right now that were not born in the 1900s, man.
I have clothing older than some of these teenagers. I know.
It's kind of sad, isn't it?
It's crazy.
All right, sorry.
Okay, well, let's talk movies and then we can go off topic in the end because I think there will be some off topic discussion at the end of the show. But August 2nd, Two Guns, Mark Wahlberg and... what's his name? Denzel Washington. What's his name? Oscar winner Denzel Washington, nonetheless. Two cops that end up having to work together. I don't know for what. This trailer is everywhere, and I still don't really know what the point is.
You know, it's getting so that if you see a trailer that makes you go, like, a storyline. Because I'm watching the trailer, and it's like, two different cop agencies doing a bank robbery and they've robbed the CIA.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? This must have been, yep, it was from a graphic novel.
Oh, is it really?
That's what IMDb says, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, the thing to note here, I guess, it's Balthazar Kumarkur, who did Contraband with Mark Wahlberg. I guess they obviously like working together because they're back together. Contraband wasn't exactly great, but I like the director's other stuff. And honestly, I like Denzel Washington and Mark Wahlberg together.
Yeah.
The trailer has good energy, even though it's bloody everywhere and the story is just kind of like, meh, whatever.
I'm with you, Ashley. Like, I want to see these two act together. Mm-hmm. The story, I don't know.
I like both of them, but like you say, the trailer is just full of all sorts of meh.
Yeah. It's very forgettable. Like, you watch it, it's like,
what the hell was that?
They're good together. Like, the energy is there. But as soon as it's off the screen, it's like, yeah, move on to the next thing. Yeah. Well, it's not memorable in any way.
Apparently, it was going to originally be an Owen Wilson, Vince Vaughn sort of buddy cop romp.
Oh, good Lord.
Honestly, I like these actors much better.
Yeah.
But I have a funny feeling I would have liked the trailer.
It's for the other one. If it was Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson.
This trailer is so boring.
This kind of reminds me, it has a similar energy to Safe House, the Denzel Washington, Ryan Reynolds one.
Yeah.
Like with the whole buddy thing. I don't know. I kind of get the same vibe, but I enjoyed Safe House. It was fun.
I enjoyed it, but it was a pretty vanilla movie.
Oh, yeah. Very vanilla, but it was fun to watch.
It was fun to watch. Yeah.
So I think this sort of falls in the same.
Wouldn't watch camp. It again, but it was fun enough at the time.
There's another buddy thing in this month that I'm much more looking forward to. So we'll get to that.
Oh, yeah. I think I can guess which one it is, but we'll get there in a second. Think ice cream, people. Think ice cream. Yeah, Colleen's giving me the eyebrow. You'll know when we get there. I'll explain. Also opening August 2nd, the kids' movie, The Smurfs 2. They should have just called this Smurfette Goes Bad. I actually did watch the trailer, as painful as it was.
Wow.
Me too.
Hank Azaria as Gargamel is fucking crazy. Dan's like, who's playing Gargamel? I'm like, I think it's Hank Azaria. It's really creepy.
Is Neil Patrick Harris in this for a grand total of 2 seconds?
Maybe. Because it's kind of awesome.
It's all you saw in the trailer. Yep. It'd be the only reason why I'd actually even remotely.
I must admit, you know, like, you went further than me. I didn't even watch the trailer.
No, and I hadn't watched the trailers up until now, but I'm like, you know, Dale always watches the trailers even when the movies suck. I will watch this one. It's one I haven't seen.
Good for you.
And really, I have nothing to say except what the hell is Brendan Gleeson doing here? Obviously, they're paying him very, very well.
I only watched it hoping to see more Neil Patrick Harris.
No, not enough NPH I admit.
NPH.
And I mean, if anybody's wondering why they're making this movie, it's because the first one made shitloads of money internationally. Like, buckets of money.
Smurfs are huge in Europe.
Oh, yeah, they are. I mean, I love the Smurfs, but even I wouldn't go as far as the animated atrocity that they put out a couple of years ago. So this is just kind of like, whatever. It's their version of the Smurfs, not my version of the Smurfs. It's all still okay. Also opening August 2nd, I think, I'm not sure if this was a limited release or a wide release, but The Spectacular Now, one of the Sundance favorites from this year, starring Shailene Woodley, who is single-handedly taking over Hollywood. She is in every teen movie coming out between now and 2017.
Well, at least it's not some Lena Gomez.
No, she is like, she came out of nowhere. I hadn't seen her in anything, and she is cast in like everything. It's really crazy, and she's kind of cool. I do like her. But the story here, based on a book that's really well liked. Story of, you know, teenage romance where the guy is like some athlete jock party animal meets the unlikely quiet girl and they begin a relationship, I guess. We've seen it before. The trailer looks okay. Pretty much.
Yeah.
No comment?
It didn't look horrible, the trailer. No. It didn't look horrible, but it didn't look particularly compelling either.
The director, he did... The only other thing I've seen of his is Smashed, which came out last year with Aaron Paul and what's her name? Mary Elizabeth Winston, where they're both alcoholics and she sobers up and he doesn't. And it's like the falling apart of their relationship. And it was also a big Sundance success. I thought it was okay, not particularly great. But I'm kind of curious to check this out, mostly because I like Shailene Woodley, even though I haven't really seen her in anything.
This is the kind of movie, if someone said, hey, let's go see it, I would probably go see it. If it was on TV and nothing else was on, I would watch it, but there was nothing compelling.
You wouldn't go out of your way.
I would not go out of my way. Although, I mean, the guy playing the crazy guy.
Oh, wait. The crazy guy.
Miles. Is that
Miles Teller?
I mean, his performance was kind of somewhat interesting, but like you say, it's kind of like been done quite a bit lately. So even that for novelty.
There isn't really much novelty.
So, yeah.
I know what you mean. Moving on to August 9th, a very, very busy week. Starting with Neil Blomkamp in Elysium.
Oh, God, I'm so looking forward to this.
Matt Damon, Jodie Foster, the guy that did District 9.
Blomkamp.
Yep. Neil.
I'm trying to keep my expectations real low.
Oh, I should be doing that too.
I'm trying to keep them really low.
Because it's kind of hard.
I want to really love this, and it could be just complete shit.
This I don't think it will be.
Good.
I
must admit, I mean, yeah, Blomkamp hasn't burned me yet, and District 9, I mean, he plays with these big ideas in sci-fi in a way that like sci-fi does really well. Mm-hmm. And he's not afraid to like tackle them. And just the themes in this movie, I am looking forward to
I know, it makes you all
this.
Tingly, right?
It does.
It totally does.
Only because there's been such a drought of, I mean, it's like, you know, you get things like Oblivion that are just like crap. They're just vehicles for...
I wouldn't go that far, but okay.
This one...
I really liked Oblivion, okay?
I mean, it was fluff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it has some ideas that doesn't really expand on.
I mean, it's so much of the sci-fi that we're seeing either tries to tackle the big ideas and kind of fails, like we were talking about with Host in the other podcast, or
it doesn't even shoot for them.
Or it doesn't even shoot
it's
for them.
It's just nice and glossy, and that's it.
Give us some nice effects, and it's all kind of an action-driven thing. And I mean, those are great, but I do like the meaty...
Yeah,
kind of storylines, and this promises to be that. So,
well, and one of
but
the
yes,
things,
Colleen, you're right. I mean, I should dial my expectations down so I'm not like over expecting and get disappointed.
Well, and one of the things that District 9 did really well was mix the story with the action in a way that it works. It's a nice balance between the two, so it kind of captures everybody. It's like the people that are looking for a spectacle get a bit of a spectacle, and those that want a little bit more get a little bit more. And that certainly seems to be the promise here as well. So we'll just have to wait and see. And worth noting that Sid Mead did do some of the artwork here, which is kind of exciting. I did read a little snippet on his involvement in the movie and made me very, very excited because I'm a fangirl, totally fangirl. Did I just lose you guys? You're both looking ahead.
I may have something.
You may have something. Okay, well, we'll move on to the next one, then we can come back to the may have something. Also opening on the 9th, Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters. Follow-up to Percy Jackson and the Olympians from a couple of years ago. Logan Lerman is back as the son of Poseidon. I kind of like this series. I enjoyed the first one a lot more than I thought I would. And I'm looking forward to this one. It's looking pretty good. The trailer is kind of cool.
Since I have the website open.
Yep.
As well as like my printed list, they snuck a couple more.
I know.
Movies in for August 2nd.
How dare they?
I didn't bother going through them.
No?
I did see them, but.
Oh, we want to talk about Europa Report.
Well, I guess we want to talk about Europa. Okay, we're going back to August 2nd for a second.
Because
Europa Report is actually a really great science fiction movie.
I mean, the IO9 panel on science fiction that'll change your life, like a couple of the panelists raved about it. So I'm all curious.
I wouldn't rave that much about it. I have seen it. The visuals are staggering. It's gorgeous. It's the kind of thing you want to see on a big screen. It's an interesting story. I mean, I really enjoyed it. It's probably one of the best sci-fi movies I've seen this year.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, it's staggeringly gorgeous. Like, it's amazing. There's one scene, I think it might be in the trailer, where they're coming up on Europa. And it's just like this little little tiny little ship and this massive moon. And it's just, it's absolutely stunning. It's really, really good.
And you didn't want to talk about it. Why?
I don't know. We passed it.
Eyebrow.
Well, if we're going to talk about this, we're going to talk about another one too. So.
Okay.
But no, I really, I highly recommend your Oprah Report. It's quite good. And it's available on VOD as well, if folks are interested. But I would highly recommend seeing it theatrically because it's just stunning. Like, it's really, really well done. And yeah, it's real science. Like, the Jet Propulsion Labs, XPL, NASA were all involved. So, I mean, it's real hard science, which you don't get in movies.
No.
Like, almost ever. So that alone is reason to see it. I'm sure Bad Astronomer Guy was probably like milking, frothing at the mouth, talking about it. Because, I mean, this is the kind of thing that he would be totally behind, I would think.
He wasn't the one that was actually really pushing it, though. I forget who was. It was one of the other guys that was just kind of a, I don't think they were actually part of IO9.
Oh, okay.
There was a couple producer types or something. I forget.
Yeah, no worries. But no, it's certainly worth watching. It's highly recommended, I would think.
Cool.
The other one, I guess, since we're talking stuff that they sort of squeezed in, The Canyons, which
Lindsay
is
Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan. And do you have the guy's name? I'll look it up here. I've got it. But it's Lindsay Lohan and James Dean,
the
porn god, James Dean.
Gus Van Sant.
Now this was
Paul
written.
Paul Schrader.
Yeah, directed by Paul Schrader and written by Bret Easton Ellis, which in and of itself is like high drama. I have no idea what it's about. I've seen the trailers. They're sort of all over the place. It looks like a disaster and a half. Like the drama around the production of this movie, there has been so much of it.
Yeah.
And it's so well documented that the fact the movie exists is a miracle. Quite honestly. Like, there is, if I can find it, I'll see if I can track it down. But there was an article I read, and it might have been Variety or like one of the trade mags or one of the newspapers, where they like went through the entire from casting to like the final cut. And it's just like, how did this movie ever get made? And it just further proof that Lindsay Lohan is off her rocker. And they just should stop hiring her for anything. Because she brings drama to everything.
It will be interesting to see what the numbers are for the movie. Mm-hmm. If that kind of drama shows up at the box office.
I don't think the numbers will be particularly well.
I can't imagine.
No,
unless,
hype whatsoever.
Unless she is doing like an epic nude scene or something. I just don't see people going.
Well, and even then, I mean, they're opening. So I'm rather surprised they're opening the movie as wide as they are. It actually is playing in Vancouver for like 3 or 4 nights at the Rio.
Huh,
wow. So I've put it on the list. We'll talk about it a little bit later.
Well, the Rio, they might just be hoping for a train wreck.
Well, and this is the thing. I think a lot of people are going to be going in for the train wreck. And it's kind of interesting because James Dean has his own like rabid following of women. Like, he is a big porn star for a reason.
He's broken out of the porn circles like with some of his other projects.
Yeah. So I mean, he certainly has his own following at this point. I would say that his following is bigger than Lindsay Lohan's.
I think you're right.
To be completely honest.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't think it'll translate into box office numbers, but I am really curious to see. It's on my list of things to see this month because I just, at this point, I just want to see what exactly they managed to get on screen.
Do you remember what James Dean, it was Sex Education or something that he was started making in the news, like totally outside of his?
I can't remember.
Because I mean it, like Sasha Gray is the other one that kind of broke out of.
Yeah, the porn industry.
Yeah.
But she did it with Steven Soderbergh, right?
Yeah, yeah.
She sort of became a legitimate actress, if you can really call her that. She was just playing a character a little more extended than herself.
Mm-hmm.
But
that was actually the only reason I was interested in this movie. And not that I want to see it, but just the whole drama around it would make a good movie.
So. Oh, yeah. This is the thing. It's the kind of thing that you wish there was a behind-the-scenes camera that captured the entire thing.
A Lost in La Mancha kind
Pretty
of?
Pretty much, yeah. Because nice. That would be like, it would be a spectacular disaster. That's just what they should have called this.
Watching Lohan have an absolute meltdown over nothing.
Nothing, yeah. It's kind of,
I said Havarti, insane. Not Gouda.
Okay, so fast forward. Week of August 9th, we done Elysium.
Yeah, so we've done Elysium. Let's talk Percy Jackson and the Olympians. This is one that I am really looking forward to because I really like the first one. This one's Sea of Monsters. Olympians was the first one.
Yeah.
I got myself confused there.
What was the Lightning Thief, wasn't it?
Was it the Lightning Thief? It could have been.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I liked it too. I mean, it was not a fantastic movie, but it was fun. And
it was a surprise for me because I didn't expect anything and I really ended up really enjoying it.
And it was in a style that I actually like and we don't see a lot of anymore, like that less gritty,
mm-hmm.
more...
It's a fantasy.
Yeah.
It's clean. It's just like a straightforward...
Clean looking, yeah.
Yeah, straightforward, fairly, you know... clean fantasy movie.
Plus every brown coat around will go see it because Nathan Fillion is in it. So.
Okay, that came as a total surprise when I saw the first trailer. I'm like, oh, it's Nathan. But I mean, that wasn't really the reason for me to see it in the first place.
No,
I know what you mean though. It's like rabbit. And so you know what this means.
People will see anything if Nathan Fillion's in it.
This means that Nathan Fillion was in town and nobody knew. This is what's really amusing to me. Because they did shoot like down the street from me. For weeks we saw them build this massive set. We didn't know what the hell they were filming.
But was he in that scene though?
No. So. He was in I think the scenes that they shot in studio because it looks like interior stuff. But
he plays Hermes.
Ooh.
But let's see.
Does he wear little winged boots?
We also have Sean Bean and Stanley Tucci.
Yes. Oh, Sean.
Who plays Zeus?
Is he gonna die? They can't kill Zeus.
They can't kill Zeus. No, they can do some nasty things to him.
Yeah, he's gonna live through one movie. Go, Sean. Well, it's true. They kill him off in every other movie. Oh, so
because
you know.
He's so kill offable.
I didn't even like twig to that, but you're right.
Damn. Also opening August 9th. Planes.
What the hell is this?
I don't know. It looks like shit as far as I'm concerned. I didn't like Cars. I'm not a fangirl of Pixar. So to me, the movie has to stand on its own. This looks like Cars, but with planes. And the only interesting thing is it stars the voices of Anthony Edwards and Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
Which is kind of awesome in a, you know, Top Gun.
I haven't really seen anything with Val Kilmer since Port of Call, New Orleans, Bad Lieutenant.
Yeah.
Which, of course, he was awesome in.
What I find really...
High five that shit.
That was good. Yes, that was good.
Oh, high five over there.
My friend on my roller derby team, every year they have a Nicolas Cage film festival. Just one day where they like geek out on 3-4 films. And I'm like, oh, tell me you're playing Bad Lieutenant. It's like, I wish. But this year, the theme is romance.
Oh.
So they're doing the cheesy romance ones this year.
Oh, and he's got some bad ones.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
I think I saved a pin. I forgot to bring it. I made a couple extra because she got pins made up for her film fest.
Nice. I totally want one.
It's just
one.
His big head going Cage Fest 2013.
Oh my God, I totally want one.
Yeah. Okay, anyways, back on track.
Back on planes.
The weird thing about this one is it's an expansion of the Cars universe, but it's not a Pixar property. So that I think.
Oh, wait,
that,
it's not Pixar?
It's not Pixar. It's Disney, but it's not Pixar.
Oh,
I think that
I
says everything right there.
Yeah, pretty much. Wow.
Money. Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. Actually, Clay Hall, the director, he directed a bunch of episodes of King of the Hill, like 95 of them. I'm like, seriously?
That is a bunch, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Right?
I'm like, thinking 4 or 5.
I'm like, oh, how many episodes? 95 of them?
Isn't that most of the entire run?
Pretty much.
Nice.
I really like King of the Hill.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
That's like the one I don't like.
It's one that I had to warm up to. Like, it's not something that I liked off the bat.
The whole time I'm going, why isn't Bobby just basically kill them?
Yeah, no,
every day, I thought.
It was hit and miss for me. There were some episodes I really enjoyed and others I just couldn't sit through.
Yeah.
My dad obsessed about propane, like that guy. I would take him out in a minute.
You know, talking animated and veering off.
This is
off.
My gun and my gun accessories.
You know what? The funny thing was I talked to someone from that area of Texas, and Arland is like a very... Was it Garland, Texas or Arland, Texas?
Arland.
Yeah.
Arland. So there's a place called Garland, Texas. It's like dead ringers.
Oh.
Like that place exists.
It
man.
Wasn't accidental.
Ah.
Dan and I watched, we introduced my cousin to the World of Warcraft South Park episode last night.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Make Love, Not Warcraft, or yeah. Not WoW. It's the most hilarious. I hadn't seen that episode in years. It is still as funny as the first time I saw it. It's so good. Okay, that was totally off track. Okay, moving on. Also opening August 9th, We're the Millers.
You know, the trailer won me over.
The trailer is pretty good. Jennifer Aniston. And is that Ed Helms or Jason Sudeikis?
Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, so they're...
Oh, and Ed Helms.
Yeah, he's in it too, but... One of the guys is a drug dealer, and he has to find some way to bring some drugs into the country. So he makes up this family that go RVing as a way to, like, bring the drugs back. Except, like, she's a stripper, and...
Yeah, he puts together a fake family.
Yeah, and the figures, fake family, like, is pretty funny.
A family coming back in an RV isn't going to get as heavily scrutinized as just him by himself.
Yeah. And it
antics
looks like
ensue.
Pretty much. I did like this trailer quite a bit. And you know what? I love Dodgeball.
Dodgeball is awesome.
This is the guy that directed Dodgeball, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I love Dodgeball.
I kind of like this in spite of Jennifer Aniston.
You know, I didn't even realize it was Jennifer Aniston for the first couple seconds. Like, it didn't dawn on me who I was looking
at. Well, she doesn't usually play a stripper, so that's certainly playing against her type.
Probably because she didn't talk right away.
Yeah.
Oh. Ouch.
I almost get the impression that she's, like, ruining her youth going away. So now she's doing more risque roles.
Damn it, why did I agree to stopping Friends? We could have gone another 20 years.
Well, and since we're still talking, I'm going to go off page for a second because it wasn't listed on the printout, but it is listed on IMDb. Lovelace also opens on August the 9th in limited release. This is the biopic on Linda Lovelace, Deep Throat woman.
Right.
Who stars? Amanda Seyfried stars as Linda. Interesting, certainly an interesting role for her. I like the trailer. I think it looks pretty good.
I didn't actually spot this one on the list, so yeah, I haven't seen the trailer.
It's a 1970s infused. I don't even know. It looks really interesting, I think. And Sharon Stone also stars as her mother. Like, under the glasses and the lack of makeup, I almost didn't recognize her.
Wow.
It's kind of creepy. But it's an interesting-looking picture. I don't have no idea how wide it's going to open. I think it's fairly limited release, but it is in limited release August 9th. Might be on VOD as well. August the 16th, Hit Girl.
Yep.
We should just call this Hit Girl. Why? I don't know why we're calling it Kick-Ass 2.
I mean, she steals...
She stole the first movie. She steals the trailers.
She steals the trailers.
Like, really, just call it Hit Girl.
Yeah, I think so.
Jesus.
She's definitely the most interesting, compelling character in well, I must say the guy playing the villain going over the top is kind of like...
Randomly
assigning...
What's his name? Christopher Mintz Plasse? Him?
Yeah. Randomly assigning superhero names, supervillain names. You're the tumor.
Mother Russia.
I actually like the final trailer that they released where it's a homage to the first trailer for Kick-Ass where Big Daddy is shooting at, or actually I think it's, what's his name? We just talked about him.
I forget.
Oh, Nicolas Cage.
There you go.
Shooting at Chloe Moretz. Yeah. Yeah, well, the new trailer is very similar. I think it's she's shooting at Kick-Ass, and it's kind of funny. I really like that sort of nod, but I don't know.
The trailer shooting him in the chest.
Yeah.
Like, no, don't shoot me in the chest.
Yeah, so she shoots him in the back.
Yeah. I
quite enjoy that trailer. But yeah, I mean, I really liked the first one. It was an unexpected surprise.
Yeah.
I'm more than game for this one.
I'm game for it. Yeah. I'm not sure what to expect, but I just on what I've seen, it looks like it's going to be fun at least.
Yeah, exactly. I'm okay with that. Also opening on the 16th, Paranoia. With Amber Heard, Harrison Ford, Liam Hemsworth, and Gary Oldman. This is really worth seeing only for Harrison Ford and Gary Oldman at this point. I am looking forward to seeing them play off of each other if they get that chance. And it feels a little bit like antitrust. I don't know if you remember Antitrust from like the late 90s.
I remember it. I didn't actually watch it.
Oh, okay. I did. I actually do like that movie for a number of reasons. It's kind of, it's not good, but I do like it. And this feels kind of exactly the same, except with different people. So it's about, I guess Liam Hemsworth plays some low-level employee that, I don't even know what he's doing. Is he doing corporate espionage?
He gets groomed and does corporate. Oh God, corporate.
Yeah.
Espionage.
And gets caught from the looks of it.
And the interesting thing is that the two corporations are run by people who knew Harrison Ford and Gary Oldman.
Oh, okay.
They knew each other. They worked for the same company and split off. So they're old rivals. So yeah. You get a lot of playing off that. Each other with that. Yeah.
I don't know. The trailers are just sort of there. I really just like this cast.
I was really uneven on this.
I got lost.
Didn't know what to expect.
Yeah, no, and the trailers really aren't good.
Wait, is he double-crossing the double-cross?
Yeah.
Yeah, what? Exactly.
It's kind of a little too convoluted.
Yeah.
And that's always problematic, but I do like this cast quite a bit. And really, I'll see anything with Gary Oldman in it. Quite honestly, anything, including porn. Yes, I snuck that in there. Also opening August the 16th. Okay, we got to get this title right so we don't get sued. Lee Daniels presents The Butler. So based on a true story, starring Forrest Whitaker as Cecil Gaines, who served like 8 presidents in the White House as a butler.
That's pretty wild.
It
yeah.
is. And you know what's funny? Because, well, it's not really funny, but one of the interesting things about this is I wasn't really interested in the first trailer that they released. It was just kind of, it looked like an interesting story, but Lee Daniels, more than anything, irritates me. I don't like his directing style. But I really liked the second trailer that they released to the point where I saw it in a theater and I swear I almost teared up.
Wow.
I was like so close. I'm like, I can't believe you got me here.
I kind of want to see it because Lenny Kravitz is in it.
Lenny Kravitz is kind of badass.
I know.
He's actually a good actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I've seen him in a couple of things and he's quite good. But I mean, it'll be really interesting to see how they capture, because I mean, he serving 8 presidents, but I mean, it's like 1950s to the late 80s.
Yeah.
So I mean, you get the entire like Black Panther movement and he's an African-American man. So I mean, there's a lot of politicking.
Oprah Winfrey lays a pimp slap across her kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It looks. I mean, it's certainly Oscar bait, but I mean, it looks good.
It's
themes,
a little early from Oscar bait, though.
It does seem, doesn't it?
It should be more like October.
Yeah, you would think.
It's early, yeah, but it's obviously it's also counter programming.
Yeah, and the Weinsteins are, you know.
Yeah,
that's their thing is counter programming.
Some of the themes in the trailer, like if they pull it off, like definitely you can see where they've created the framework to have some really interesting discussions with the son mm-hmm. not honoring the work of the father yeah. and that stuff. So yeah, this looks really good drama.
It certainly has potential.
Hopefully it follows through.
I hope so. I don't hold my breath because like I say, Daniels is kind of, his movies work, but he's a little pretentious and it doesn't always work.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see.
This could easily get really preachy.
Yeah, and that's what I'm afraid of. Also opening.
Speaking of not working.
Yeah, that's right. August the 16th also brings us Jobs.
I couldn't get past Ashton fucking Kutcher. I just cannot stand that guy.
True enough. That was one of my first thoughts. And my other thought was all of my Cult of Apple friends, I can practically hear like the rubbing of their pants as they get an erection. Seriously. There's a few of my friends that I can almost see like glued to the television watching it over and over and over and over again, the trailers, because, oh my God, they're talking about Steve.
They're talking about God.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh God. I have certain issues with that.
Well, when they see Kuchar, they'll come to Earth really quick.
Well, you know, it's funny because somebody, they've got the ads for jobs on the side of the buses. And I can't remember who I was with the other day. And we're sitting there and a bus drives by and they're like, what's this jobs thing? Is this like a play? I mean, they didn't even recognize Ashton Kutcher. I'm like, I wish it was a play that I could just erase and not have to go to. And I mean, I have zero interest in seeing this. It just, the whole thing just looks. Bleh.
Correct.
I mean, and there's some good documentaries on Steve Jobs already. And some good movies, like made for TV things that were actually pretty good. So.
And some actually some really good books.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't really think this is necessary, but I mean, well, it was going to happen.
When he's having the tantrum in the car, Ashton Kutcher having a tantrum. Really?
Yeah.
I just can't picture this.
I just have no idea how they managed to cast him. Like, the guy is, he can act.
He's cancer to things.
Yes, he is.
Well, I mean, my niece likes him, so that always gives me pause. Yeah. Well, I think he's cute.
Well, I think there's a lot of cute actors. He's not one of them.
I know. I would, you know, am I basically poking my eyes out with a pencil because he's so ugly? No.
No.
But is he attractive? No.
Not necessarily.
You know, when he
teach their own. Teach their own.
I will say this.
I worry about the youth.
In the Guardian, he actually did okay.
Oh, yeah. That's the one with Kevin Costner.
Yeah. So,
that was the only okay thing he's ever
done.
That's
the only thing I've ever seen him in where I thought that he was, like, didn't drive me crazy.
Well, that in that 70s show, because he kind of...
Well, he was the role.
He was the role.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
But for this movie, for an, you know, iconic, like, I watched the trailer. I'll admit I couldn't keep a completely open mind, but I really thought, okay, let's see if he can pull off Jobs. You know, if he actually gives me that impression that he is Jobs, if he can act that much, I'll give him a chance in the movie. But I did not see it in the trailer. It's just like, and there was a moments there where I should have seen it in the trailer and I didn't. So this movie just does not appeal to me at all.
Yeah, I'm with you. Doesn't work for me at all. moving on, also on the 16th, David Gordon Green is back and not with a... ridiculous comedy, not a ridiculous stoner or drinking comedy.
Well,
Prince Avalanche. Well, I guess that's up for debate.
You can keep
right?
the ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a lot of ludicrousness going on in this film, and I kind of like it.
I don't get it. Like, what the hell is this about?
I think it's just the story of two guys that are working on in the middle of nowhere on the road
by themselves
for a summer,
annoying the crap out of each other and the antics that ensue.
Pretty much, and I mean, I think the key here is can you get two actors that can carry this for the entire movie? And I certainly think that Emile Hirsch and Paul Rudd can do it.
Paul Rudd would,
I mean, I love Paul Rudd's stash is like the greatest thing this year. Quite honestly, it is the greatest thing this year. Well, maybe Anchorman. We haven't seen Anchorman yet.
It's an epic stash.
Epic stash. But I mean,
you don't see stashes like that much anymore.
But I do. I do like the way this looks, and I like David Gordon Green when he's playing in this sandbox, the indie sort of comedy that's a little more reined back than things like Pineapple Express.
Oh yeah, yeah. No,
which I also enjoy, but.
For whatever reason, I was watching this and I was picturing myself and my friends when we were in like our 20s.
Yeah, camping. This would totally be a movie for you because it's like reliving your antics.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? There's going to be scar tissue here anyway now, and I'm still not stopping what I'm doing. Yes.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Also opening on the 16th, it's on our list. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see it because it wasn't listed everywhere, but Ain't Them Body Saints. Big one that I've been really, really looking forward to. Rooney Mara and Casey Affleck. It kind of feels, I know it's not, but it kind of has the feel of a Bonnie and Clyde. Casey Affleck plays a guy that basically escapes from jail and goes looking for his fiance or wife, or I don't know what she plays. And I know it's not a Bonnie and Clyde story, but just the setting, it just kind of gives me that vibe.
Well, you're right. Like, it almost I got a bit confused because it started off looking like one kind of movie.
And then it turns
and then
into
it turned
something
into
else.
Kind of very a much Bonnie so. And Clyde-ish kind
yeah.
of thing. Yeah.
So I'm really, really excited to see this. It also has overtones of the assassination of Jesse James.
Yeah.
Not just because of Casey Affleck, just the look of it.
I really like Casey Affleck as an
Ditto.
Actor. Like,
he's exceptional.
Of the brothers, dude, Casey every
superior.
Day of the week.
I agree. And Rooney Mara's turned into a really talented, I mean, obviously she was already talented, but she's proven to be quite a force to be reckoned with on screen.
Mm-hmm.
She's super talented as well. So yeah, one I'm very, very excited about. I have a feeling that one is limited release only.
Yeah.
Opening August the 23rd. Is it actually on the 23rd? I think I have it down for the 21st. So I have no idea if it's actually opening on the Wednesday or the Friday, but it's opening that week. This summer's...
The much anticipated?
It is much anticipated by me, at least. Mortal Instruments, City of Bones. I'm so excited about this movie. Yes, I got a little fangirlish there. Based on a book by Cassandra Clare, starring Lily Collins and Jamie Campbell-Bauer and Robert Sheenan and Michael Zegers and Kevin Zegers, I should say. And Jonathan Rhys-Meyer and Lena Headey and a bunch of other people. It's kind of ridiculous. And it is about a young girl who discovers she is a shadow hunter, which is basically like this parallel universe where descendants of like half angels to fight evil monsters. It's kind of awesome. There are vampires and werewolves and all sorts of supernatural things that not everybody can see. It's just kind of cool. The trailer is kind of awesome.
The books aren't bad.
Yeah, the books are quite good. I really enjoy these.
I enjoyed the books like at a particular level. They aren't quite aimed at me.
No.
It was really weird. When I read the books, because you're reading and it's not visual, I kept putting them up into the early 20s.
Yeah.
And then something would happen that would clearly say, no, they're 16. So.
Yeah. And then you see the trailer, you're like, yeah, they're not 16.
Yeah, in the trailer. So the Jace character's not working for me.
Oh, right.
No.
He's not working for a lot of the girls either.
Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. Because, the other characters, like, not an instant fit, but not bad. Like, I could see them as the way I remember the characters. Mm-hmm. But the Jace character, and that's a really hard character.
Yeah.
To get onto the screen. Yeah, he just didn't.
I don't know. I'm optimistic because I like Jimmy Campbell-Bauer. He's a very talented actor who's been in an interesting array of movies and TV shows, some of which have worked better than others. And I don't think any of them have really used his particular talents. I think this one might give him the opportunity to a little bit more because he's kind of like, he comes across as a little reckless, which the character fits quite well.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I honestly just want to see this damn thing. Because
my
17-year-old teenage girl self is like squeeing on the inside.
This is my question. Yeah. Do you think like there's enough built-in audience from the book that it's just going to be automatic blockbuster? Or do you think it can still fall on its ass?
No, I think it could still fall on its ass.
Yeah.
I don't know how badly.
Get a great opening day and then fall off the next day kind of thing?
Maybe not. I don't think. I think it has a little more legs than that. I don't think it'll be a Catching Fire. I don't think it'll be a Hunger Games.
Uh-huh.
But it certainly has potential to be something special. The fandom is quite large.
Yeah.
It was actually kind of funny hearing people talk about it at Comic-Con because it's the one they haven't discovered yet.
Oh,
well, it was kind of we don't really know what this is. I'm like, yeah, you don't know what this is yet. I think it has potential to be something quite big.
This was the movie that interestingly, when IO9 was talking about Winners and Losers, said that it shouldn't have been in Hall H.
Yeah.
They thought that it was misplaced in Hall H and kind of suffered for
I'm not surprised for that. Because I the fans seem much more ardent than some of the other fandoms, but I don't think it's quite as large as folks. Like I say, it's not the Hunger Games,
mm-hmm.
but it certainly has, they have certainly put together a cast and a movie that looks pretty awesome. Like the trailer is kind of badass.
Yeah, I'm hoping they'll succeed. I mean, one of the things I liked about the book was
I want a sequel. Down.
The mythology was suitably different from everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So
and it's
a huge
universe.
I liked the world that was created.
And surprising to me, Magnus is like become the the center figure of all the characters. He seems to be the one that the fans really respond to.
Oh, that's weird.
It is very, very strange. Local actor too. Vancouver actor, which is kind of awesome. Okay, but we've talked about that long enough. But I'm very, very excited.
Talking about Fangirl.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That's an excellent. Okay, so this is
fanboy.
And this is why I said ice cream, because they are calling this Cornetto. The Cornetto Trilogy.
Damn straight.
The what?
Cornetto Trilogy.
Cornetto Trilogy.
Okay. Shaun of the Dead, he goes and asks his buddy, I forget the actual name of it.
Frost?
Well, Frost, yeah, but I don't remember the character name. Anyways, one from the store, Cornetto. In Hot Fuzz, they're in the cop car going into the store. Want anything in there? Cornetto. So
that's, you see the theme, the right?
Yeah, thing. I see the same theme.
God, I can't wait for this to open.
I know. So, I mean, they're trying to relive a epic pub crawl from 20 years ago. And there's an alien invasion going on.
They have to finish the Royal Mile, which is 12 stops along the way.
12 have pubs, a pint, one pint.
Have a pint at each one of the pubs.
I love
which
pub
is
crawls.
12 pints, which is the equivalent of 24 cups of beer.
Win. Epic win, I say.
It's just good. And I love the fact that Simon Pegg has, for whatever reason, decided to look like a greasy, nasty piece of work.
I was listening to an interview with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost and Edgar Wright, and they were saying that the beer, you're going to watch this movie and either want to go and drink beer or never want to drink beer ever again. But they say the beer looks really beautiful in the movie.
Just like perfect shots.
I'm going to need beer after watching this.
I'm pretty sure I will still crave beer.
You and me both. I think the beer will win me over. But it was just really funny listening to them talk, because they're like, you know, well, we were lightweights when we were teenagers, and we're even worse now. They're all teetotalers. So it's like they go home. They go
six beers. It's like, yeah. 5 beers and tap water.
Yeah.
What?
So funny. But yes, I do. I am very looking forward to seeing this. It should be fun.
Anytime you get Simon Pegg, pretty much anywhere, but Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Uh-huh.
Win. Even horrible David Schwimmer films, add Simon Pegg and it's actually pretty okay.
I can watch it once.
Yeah, once is pretty much.
Run, Fatboy, Run.
Oh, God.
You know,
the only thing worth watching on that was Simon Pegg.
You had to bring that up.
I enjoyed that film. I
didn't enjoy it enough to see it ever again.
Yeah, probably won't, but it had its moments.
I have loyalty to the Pegg.
Okay, so see, this is my complaint. When they did the press junket thing where they flew a bunch of press people to the UK to talk to...
You weren't among them?
No, well, I'm never among them. I was shocked that there weren't any women in the crowd, period.
Really?
Yeah, they were all guys. I'm like, what, do you assume women don't drink beer? I feel slighted by this personally.
Could it possibly be people requested, like mad, to go on that junket? Because, quite honestly, what's the bigger appeal, demographically, Shaun of the Dead?
I don't fucking care. I drink beer.
Well, I know.
And I'm a fan. Hell, you're a total fangirl and you drink beer.
I love beer.
Exactly.
I love Shaun of the Dead and I love Hot Fuzz and I love Paul and...
By the power of Grayskull.
By the power of Grayskull.
Yes.
I watched Paul again the other day and...
That movie is hilarious.
They have to get him together again with Kristen Wiig because...
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
Yes, there was some epic funny in that movie.
Yeah.
So good. Okay, can we move on to your next?
Horror. Do we have to?
Not really, but...
Oh, I thought you'd be all over this next one.
No, I just like talking about World's End.
Oh, okay.
Do we have to move on?
We can move on.
From
I can segue it another time to Simon Pegg.
So, Adam Wingard, I haven't actually seen anything he's done other than his snippets in VHS and VHS 2, though I have it on, I guess, good authority. I guess, because it's Kurt. Oops, did I say that out loud? No, but Kurt and Don over at Quiet Earth both say that Popsicle is spectacularly awesome, and I haven't seen it, so I don't know. But the concept here is kind of interesting. So, you know, a family is doing a celebration, I think it's somebody's anniversary, and they're all at home having a party, and they get invaded by some, you know, folks that are trying to endanger them in some way for whatever reason. I have no idea. Oh, it's just a break-in.
Crossbow and a mask, dude.
The only thing that really appeals to me is the animal masks. Well, otherwise, I've seen this before numerous times.
Well, I like the concept that apparently one of the family members has some experience in killing and fights back, which I think is kind of interesting. The posters for this have been really awesome. One of the posters that they released just recently, we'll link to it on, it was one of our Friday posters on Roll 3. And it's like the layout of the house, and it shows you like where the bad guys are and where the person that's doing the killing is. Oh. It's kind of awesome. It's a pretty nice looking poster. I don't know. It looks fairly run-of-the-mill horror movie. I'm not going to go out of my way to see it.
I might. It's the masker's cool, and sometimes that sort of theme can be good. Like The Strangers, I love The Strangers.
Yeah, The Strangers, but The Strangers was like that almost feels like a one of total random. I still don't know why that movie worked so well.
I know, but God, it's creepy.
It is. It's so good.
I remember so much of that film. So many films, I just
forget.
Yeah. That film, there's a lot of shit that stuck in my head.
Yes, it's really, really well done. One that I haven't seen in a while. I should rewatch that soon. Also opening on the 23rd, The Grandmaster. This is Wong Kar-wai's Ip Man biopic, I guess, starring Tony Leung, who's like a god when it comes to this sort of stuff.
Fight prep kind of thing.
Yeah. It looks beautiful.
Pretty much. Oh, the trailers are stunningly gorgeous.
It's like Hidden Dragon, Crouching Tiger kind of visual, but full on martial art.
Yeah, and darker.
Yeah.
And lots of rain. I like rain. Yeah. I like fight sequences in the rain. They work for me.
Johnny Toe Sparrow.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
All those umbrellas.
Yes. Very nice. It is being released in Canada by E1, but they haven't released an actual date. I don't think it'll be the 23rd of August, but our US counterparts will get to see it, I guess, a little early, which kind of sucks. What else? Okay, well, we'll go on to the next one. August 30th, the end of the month. Okay, this is interesting. I did actually watch this trailer. This Is Us. The One Direction.
I watched the first minute documentary. And a half, I think.
The only reason I watched the trailer is because it's Morgan Spurlock, and I was kind of curious why the hell he was doing a teeny bopper.
I wondered that too, actually.
Documentary. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't look like anything of particular interest if you're not a One Direction fan.
I watched it solely because there is one girl on the roller derby team, or one of our junior players, Bama Slama.
She's a big One Direction fan.
Obsessed. Her Facebook sort of like feed is almost entirely made up of One Direction stuff. It's truly mind-boggling.
I will say this. There is a moment in the trailer where I kind of went, oh, that's really nice. Because one of the kids is doing he's talking to his mom on the phone. And she's like bawling her eyes out. He's like, I know you always said that when you made it somewhere, you'd buy us a house, but I didn't expect this. And then the next shot is like her going into a brand new house. And I'm like, okay, I think and just the kid's shed
going,
a tear.
I'm going to hang up now because I'm going to start crying. No one wants that.
One thing that I will say is, and I have no idea because I've never listened to these guys. I didn't know they existed, but they come across as far more genuine than pretty much any other boy band I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of boy bands in my lifetime and been a fan of a lot of them. But something about these guys, like they actually feel like real people, even though it's one of these, what's his name? The British guy that was on.
They were on The X Factor and Lost. They were like second place.
Weren't they put together by him?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe about not. That,
oh, but, I assume they weren't, but it was an assumption because they came through a contest. Not.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. So, I mean, one thing that's the only thing that I really have to say is they just seem really authentic. So I don't know if that's actually them or if that's Morgan Spurlock.
Apparently they don't do a lot of the corrugated dance moves that most of the others do.
Which is awesome.
That's
kind of cool. Also opening on the 30th, Getaway.
Speaking of Selena Gomez.
Yeah. Talk about weird casting.
I know.
It's like the movie, the trailer starts and you're like, oh, it's Ethan Hawke in a car. Yeah. In a really awesome fucking car.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Marina was having convulsions.
Shelby, right?
Yes. Fuck. And then, you know, in comes Selena Gomez. Really?
Yeah, looking really clean.
Weird.
Yeah, she's going to carjack the dude and she like looks like she's come out of a Dove commercial.
But she's wearing a hoodie, so
but
she
must wearing
be
a
bad.
Hoodie, so yeah, yeah.
She must be bad.
Well, I mean, it'll get you shot for being black, but that's another story.
Okay, well, beyond the fact that this looks completely ridiculous, it is directed by the guy that brought us Dungeons & Dragons. Have we forgiven him for that yet? I haven't forgiven him for that yet. Has anybody forgiven him for that yet? It's been like over 10 years.
I had actually blotted it from my mind.
Well, yeah. So see, we haven't forgiven you yet.
Thank you for that.
Courtney
Your brain
Solomon.
Protecting yourself.
Yeah. Mm. And you know what's worse? He's Canadian.
Oh.
Oh. Yes, we make bad movies too. Yeah. Really, it doesn't look particularly good.
There's a reason why Uwe Boll lives here.
You know, this could have been an Uwe movie. I just
Uwe like Uwe movie. There should be a blog, the Uwe movie blog.
Oh my god! I've completely lost my shit now.
Dedicated to complete shit in cinema.
You know, you wouldn't have to go too far to get that blog going.
No.
There's a lot of selection.
A film a day, and that's just Uwe Boll's kill.
Oh, man. Oh, I don't even know where we were.
I know.
Selena Gomez, crap, Ethan Hawke, Shelby, go.
Yeah.
I'll watch it because of the Hawke cars and Ethan Hawke. And not in the theater.
Yeah.
Let's get that straight.
Yeah.
I will not pay $13 to see this in the theater. But I don't mind, you know, paying $3.99 to rent it. Because it's Ethan Hawke. I'll pretty much watch anything he does, even if it's totally awful. And I've seen some really bad stuff. Also opening on the 30th, I think this one might also be in limited release, but Closed Circuit, starring Rebecca Hall and Eric Bana as lawyers who are trying to, I guess, defend a guy that's been
accused of terrorism.
Yeah.
Or something.
So, I mean, it's a conspiracy thriller. One of the things that everybody's sort of getting all up in arms about is that it's written by Steve Knight, who wrote Eastern Promises. Quite honestly, I got far more interested about the fact that this is directed by John Crowley, who directed Boy A, which is a spectacular movie years after it's been out. I mean, if you haven't seen it, like, you track that thing down because you're doing yourself a great disservice by not watching it.
I still love Eastern Promises,
though. Oh, yeah.
That was the single hottest kiss of that year.
Well, and this is the thing. I mean, it's the DNA on this movie is like through the roof because Steven Knight is amazing. Crowley's amazing. Amazing cast. I mean, Rebecca Hall and Eric Bana are nothing to scoff at. Mm-hmm. And the trailer looks really sleek. Really sleek. I mean, it could go kind of either way, but I am certainly very, very excited to check this out.
I found it interesting that we had two conspiracy type movies in a month because we haven't seen a whole lot over the past little while, and they usually come out, you know, like one or two a year.
Yeah, and the fact that we get two in one month is kind of surprising. You're absolutely right.
Don't know if that's a trend or a fluke.
Hmm.
I mean, with everything happening in the news, I honestly like what made me think. Because the same time I was like doing the trailers, I was also checking my news feed, and you know, Snowden keeps coming up.
Yeah,
and I thought, oh, I wonder if this is kind of going to spawn between Bradley Manning and Snowden and that other dude. It's like, well, you know, we might actually start seeing some more stories along this line.
Which, I mean, I have no issue with whatsoever. I mean, I like these kind of conspiracy thrillers. They're kind of...
You know, I really enjoy a good one. Yeah. But the problem is that they can go into the weeds so quick when they get convoluted. That's the
problem. And then that's the problem with a lot of them. They tend to try to squeeze in so much information.
Yeah, either because the story is shit to begin with or the director just can't keep it together.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, the good ones. I like watching
them. Oh, well, I love watching the good ones. Yeah.
And there have been some really great ones over the years. But this one, I think it shows great promise. Even though the title is just so generic. Closed Circuit?
Yeah.
It's a little forgettable.
Well, yeah. Least. It looks like it might be to do with something in the plot, but you're right. Yeah, it's just like, you're right.
And we'll finish off the month with Random. I really have zero to say because there was no trailer.
I couldn't find a trailer.
No trailer. All we know is it stars Ashley Greene and Lucas Till, and comes to us from the director of Donkey Punch and Vinian.
The only thing that tweaked me was the comment, we hear Rosemary's Baby is the main inspiration for this college campus thriller. I kind of like Rosemary's Baby.
I kind of love Rosemary's Baby. Like, yeah. I have a passion for that movie.
A passion?
It's...
You passionate?
Yes, I am. Dan doesn't understand it. I watch that movie a lot. He's not a fan, let's just say. Okay, so we'll wrap things up here. Well, kind of wrap things up because we're going to talk a little off book in a minute. But some of the Vancouver happenings to keep your eye out on this month. The Cinematheque has so much stuff. Colleen is going kind of crazy. We'll start with the tribute to Ray Harryhausen.
Yeah, brilliant. Yes. My childhood, I watched a lot of these. It's a bit before my time, most of the Sinbad.
Oh, yeah.
And that was like 60s fare. So.
But they still look amazing. And that's one of the things that really surprised me when I saw... Because I saw both Sinbad...
It's all hand-done kind of crap.
Well, and the thing is that there's something about them... There's some magic about them that just holds up really well.
Yeah.
Because I saw these both for the first time at the Van City a couple of years ago. And one of the things that really surprised me was how good they still look. Mm-hmm. Like, they're still... You watch it and you're like, wow. Like, we see special effects heavy stuff all the time. And this stuff still manages to wow.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I love about Harryhausen.
Wow. Okay. So that a small digression, but one of the panels at Comic-Con that I wound up in accidentally was this art director's thing. And there was this really interesting discussion on combining the digital effects and the physical effects,
mm-hmm.
Practical effects, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the stuff, the guy talking, making the point. And I tended in this direction anyway, but he just made the point so well. He named off like four movies that had been made around kind of the 70s and 80s that had a combination of those effects that still held up really well.
Do we know what they are?
And I forget what they were. Sorry. No. But you get, I mean, it's the Harryhausen stuff was, I mean, you can tell that it's effects, but it's still like really remarkable. Like mm-hmm. that stop motion
mm-hmm.
animation stuff. Like I remember the Sinbad when they're battling the skeletons.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Mean,
I mean,
it's mental.
It's yeah. like, it's crazy. Like, yeah. and it's still, I mean, you still know that it's effects, but it still looks good.
Yeah. And that's the thing. There's just some magic in those movies that they still work, which is kind of shocking in a way.
The Evil Dead kind of thing. Some of those special effects they had, it was basically tie Bruce Campbell to the front of the car and put a camera in front of him mm-hmm. and watch his expression go nuts as you go through the woods.
Yeah.
Like, it pretty basic stuff, but it looks awesome. And then yeah. you look at the modern one and it's like, eh.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they made a big deal with the new one of making a... They made a big deal of the fact that they used, like, most of the effects are practical effects. The fact you have to tell me that, there's a problem here. Like, you shouldn't have to tell me that to sell your movie. That's yeah. problematic to me. So the Harryhausen tribute is happening August 4th to the 7th. They're also showing Graceland from August 8th to the 12th. This is the Philippines thriller. I've seen the trailer. I can't really tell you what it's about because I haven't really read up on it. I'm trying to sort of go in cold because it looks like the trailer is spectacular, but let's just say it's not the kind of movie that I would ever expect out of the Philippines, because I'm used to seeing their like romances. That tends to be what plays here, but this one was a big surprise apparently at like Fantastic Fest and Austin last year, so it'll be kind of interesting to see.
And it looks like it's pairing up with High and Low with Kurosawa on the yep. same date, so yep. That's a good reason to head on down.
Oh yeah, for sure. So they're doing High and Low. You've already mentioned that. Okay. There's also their film noir, something they do every summer. They've got like a huge listing of movies, but the ones that I sort of picked out of the list that I really like are The Killers.
Killers.
Touch of Evil and The Big Sleep.
Yeah.
So definitely worth checking out. That runs August 10th to the 19th and then the 21st to the 30th. And then their Cinema Sunday selection for this year, for this month, is E.T.
Meh.
Last Starfighter was a way better selection,
yeah,
according to me.
I'm so sad I missed that.
Yeah, you were out of town.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to go either. Because Dan isn't really a fan.
And I've been busy.
Which kind of surprises me, but oh well.
Well, I mean,
he seems like the guy that should love Last Starfighter.
Well, no, I mean, he likes it, but not enough to go down to the theater in the middle of the afternoon on a Sunday and watch it.
Okay.
At the Van City, some good stuff coming up. The SeaWorld documentary Blackfish, which is getting a lot of attention. Definitely one worth checking out. That plays August 2nd to the 18th. Johnny To's new thriller, Drug War.
I freaking love Johnny To.
We don't get enough Johnny To, so the fact that we're getting this and on the big screen.
Andrew Mack was taunting me with this.
We should go see
it. He's like, I saw it. It was awesome. It probably won't play Vancouver. Ah!
Do you think you can make time in your busy schedule to come in for
one
night?
I'm going
to
try for that because, like I say, I heart Johnny To.
We'll have to talk off air because I'd like to make this happen.
Technically, I'm done with Derby August 6th, and after that, it's just whenever the hell I want to go. So.
Okay, we're totally talking. We're scheduling this shit. Also playing is Hannah Arendt, which actually already played, and I guess they're bringing it back, which is really good because I missed it the first time around, so I'm very excited to check this out. Also, Shane Carruth's Upstream Color, which has already also played in town, is already available on DVD, but they're playing it on the big screen. Totally worth checking out on the big screen because it's gorgeous. Just a word of warning, you're going to need to see it a second time, or maybe a third and a fourth. That plays August 10th. They're also doing a 50 Years of Bond to celebrate James Bond. They're showing Dr. No, From Russia with Love, and Casino Royale. And they're doing a Dr. No / fundraising party like right after the screening. So for $50, it's a fundraiser for the film festival. You can get your ticket to the movie and a ticket to the gala, which is Black Tie.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Which is kind of badass. Like, they don't necessarily say Black Tie, but there is a dress code.
Uh-huh.
If you come in a gold bikini, will they...
They probably will let you in, I would think, because yeah. that still ties into the... But I think what they're going for is that this is, you know... You
white bathing suit with the knife on the side?
This isn't jeans and t-shirt, party.
No streetwear.
I do not have a tux, sadly. I do have a morning suit. I do not have a tux.
You know, I do have a pink tuxedo with a blue ruffle shirt.
That
would work. What was it? Diamonds Are Forever? The two
I think so.
Gay hitmen guys?
Oh my God, yes. I don't remember what movie they're from, but I remember those guys.
Nice.
Also playing at the Van City is Barbarian Sound Studio, August 9th to the 15th. Did you see this at VIFF?
I didn't. It was on my list and I just either didn't fit it in or got sick.
Okay, well, I'm in the minority. I really didn't like this movie. It looks great and then it's boring.
Oh.
Like, seriously, it looks really great, and the concept is cool, and the sound design is awesome, and I love the 70s feel of it, but I just, nothing happens. I hated this movie. I was so bored. I wanted it to just end. But it is playing. If you're, you know, with the rest of the world and want to see it, you can.
My eyes. I'm bleeding from my eyes.
I was bleeding from my ears half the time, actually, but I don't know. And then the Rio, they've got some good stuff coming up. I mentioned when we were talking about the Canyons, they're screening the Canyons for 3 nights.
It's this next one that blows me away. Holy
Sharknado.
Shit.
Sharknado.
I love this film. I adore this film. I want to have a shark tattooed on me because of this film.
So this was totally not on my radar, and I go and I check the Twitters, and it's like, what the fuck is this Sharknado thing?
So apparently Sharknado, for those that
which I was
heard.
Pronouncing Sharknado, it's like, I had Sharknado, like, what is... And then I kind of like shark tornado. It's like, okay, so what is it?
Did you know
Sharknado? Okay,
did you not watch the trailer?
So no.
Oh, I mean, dear God.
I don't. You know, I don't have
look,
cable
she's
TV.
She's crying. Look, she's crying.
Yeah, she is.
I didn't see it on Canadian TV. I don't know if it aired. Did it air here?
Yeah, it was on Space, and it was replayed a couple times.
Because it didn't. So I don't think
I've been on my PVR. I've watched it 4 times.
So, oh dear God.
The thing about the Rio is they sell booze. So yeah, yes. Sharknado and yes. booze.
Well, this is the thing. I put it on the calendar. It's on the 14th. For those that are interested, you may want to buy your tickets in advance because this thing might sell out. Oh. But what's funny is that I thought it was a one-off thing, but apparently not, because in the States, they're actually screening it. AMC Theaters is screening it one night only throughout the entire country. It's like they're trying to make this like a midnight movie, and it may actually fly.
Yeah, it might. Well,
so many bad films are made, and like there's a ton of shark-related horrible films out there kind of thing that just suck. But
just
whatever.
Watch Space on any other movie.
Pretty much. For whatever reason, this film treaded that weird line between like absolute crap and like cult fantastic.
Yeah, because Sharktopus didn't do it.
No, not at all. They managed to somehow walk that thread perfectly, and it's turned into freaking gold.
You know, I haven't seen it. I've seen the trailer, and that is more than enough madness for me.
I haven't even seen the trailer.
I don't think I could sit through the whole thing.
Dude,
honestly,
at one point there's a shark that's coming down, and the guy who pushes the girl out of the way starts a chainsaw and then dives through the open mouth of the shark.
It's in the trailer, and I mean, it's one of the. What's funny to me is that it's one of the 90210 guys.
Yeah. Oh, it's brilliant.
It's just the trailer is so awful. You have to watch the trailer. But yes, so if you want to have this much fun in the theater, August the 14th at the Rio, Colleen
It's a Wednesday night, so you can't even really cut loose with the booze.
No, it should really be on a Friday. But Colleen is quality. Really, she's like red in the face.
I have it on never delete on my PVR.
And we'll finish off with some of the Rio's other late night movies this month. Back to the Future, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Dark Crystal, Pulp Fiction, and my personal favorite, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
I've never seen Good and the Bad and the Ugly on the big screen.
Neither have I.
You may have to do that. Actually,
womp, womp, womp. Oh, that's a really good rendition there.
Thank you. I've been practicing for decades.
And that is the month of August.
Lots.
There's been lots. Okay, well, tell us about your trip. You went to Comic-Con.
I went to Comic-Con, yes. I was one of the lucky thousands.
lucky hundreds of thousands?
Someone told me that the it sold out on the web in like 10 minutes or something.
Yeah, I've sort of stopped caring
hundreds about Comic-Con. Like 120,000 people. It's just kind of crazy. So Comic-Con is definitely...
Well, you lived through it, which is impressive.
It actually wasn't as bad as I thought. I mean, I had anticipated crap loads of crowds and crap loads of lines and kind of just trying my best to not be cranky because I don't do well around crowds and lines. But it wasn't like that at all, which was made me happy to begin with. And, you know, like these fan events, people are generally there are really happy. So that definitely helps the room. For anyone that's been to Emerald City Comic Con, it's like Emerald City, but just totally ramped right up. So you have similar kinds of presentations and fan panels and stuff, except at Comic Con, you get kind of the whole A-list coming out. So you might get a couple actors from a show for a panel at Emerald City. They bring out the full crew. And actually, it's a good time of year because the filming is done, so everyone's available, which isn't always the case for some of the other cons around. And the studios just pull full out. So, I mean, it's just crazy. You look across the street and, like, the buildings have these facades on them advertising different movies. And they have, like, they had this huge tent up for Ender's Game, and they had this warehouse thing for a Godzilla experience. And Playboy did...
I have video of that if you want to see
Playboy did a kick-ass two-party, like... that's just everyone was shaking their head like that's just
random
antithesis of like what Kick-Ass kind of is like Playboy really it just seemed kind of strange but Hall H is the big hall and I mean thousands. This thing is the size of a small stadium kind of thing and they
holy
have
crap.
These big four great huge screens suspended from the ceiling so that you can actually see what's going on the panel, because they're just teeny weeny little people at the front.
Wow.
And huge lines to get into that. I don't know what they're going to do about that. I mean, there was a couple things I would have really liked to have seen, and I just wasn't willing to wait in line
that long. I don't blame
you. But the fan panel, I went to Haven panel, which was just like my favorite panel of the whole thing. Yeah, like they're just, and Colin Ferguson is on the cast now, so he emceed, and Ferguson was great. I mean, I don't know if his personality is that kind of upbeat normally, or he just has really good pharmaceuticals. If you do, Colin, let me know what they are. He just, like, you know, he gets up there and he just, you got the idea that he did not want to be anywhere else. He like greets the crowd and he's like, he's happy, and he just moved it along really well. And the stupid questions are kind of the kinds of things. He just kind of had a way of making it like go quickly, so you weren't annoyed. And the whole cast is actually just really fun. Like, Eric is, I can't remember his full name now. Is just like you see on screen.
Oh, Balfour.
Eric Balfour, yeah. And the guy that plays Dwight, he used to be a professional wrestler.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's just like a really kind of like happy kind of open guy. And it was a great panel. They were all like, they were happy to be there, the answering questions, telling great stories. The prop panel was fun. It wasn't what I was expecting. They basically a prop company that had done a bunch of Star Trek stuff, and they sell stuff too. I made it to the IO9 panel, Science Fiction, It'll Change Your Life. That was it was fun seeing the people writing the stories and some really fun, interesting comments made. The lineups weren't as bad as I thought they were, although there was still like a couple things I didn't get into because I misjudged it. Saw the pilot for 100.
Oh, yeah.
I pretty much agree with the Peanut Gallery on that one. Tomorrow People, we'll see. That one may go someplace or not. I didn't get into a lot of the movie stuff. Like, most of the big movie stuff was just crazy crowded. And I'll pick that up on YouTube, I think.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I didn't go to Comic-Con, but I've seen a lot of the panels.
Yeah.
Basically all the ones that I really wanted to see. So, I mean, even if you don't go, you can still get a little bit of the experience of at least what happens on the panels.
I think if you, I mean, my part of my takeaway, I mean, part of it too is like, there's not a lot of fandoms that I'm really big on. So
fanables.
I hadn't done my research. And so if you're going there for swag, it's not like there's just so many people. They don't put the swag on a table for you to grab. Like, you go up there and you have to interact with them. So if you just go up there and kind of pick your nose, you're not going to have much of a chance for much. I mean, they do have the lineups and stuff, and if you're there at the right time, and occasionally they're just handing stuff out. But if, if you're a fan and you go up there and you're interacting, you're far more likely to get something takeaway. Mm-hmm. Like, Trauma was there. And I just totally didn't expect to see them there. And it was just like, I'm talking to the folks, and it's just like, you know, this is like really cool stuff, and a bunch of my friends are fans, and it's just like, oh, you wouldn't happen to have like a Kabuki Man NYT button, would you? Let me check, you know? And it was just like, it was great. It was really
fun. Which Colleen is now wearing.
And I thank you.
And I missed the signing. I was gone, but there was I can't remember if it was Kaufman or one of the guys that had done a bunch of the movies was going to be there.
Probably Kaufman. He's at all the events.
They were really pushing Toxie, he's an attention actually.
Whore. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
And we love him for it.
So yes. Sorry you didn't get an autograph.
Oh, that's
I wasn't
okay.
There. Yeah. So I mean, I would say that for the really big stuff, unless you have it in, you know, like your press and you go to a private screening or something like that, or you go to one of the, like the, there's all kinds of invite-only type parties going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, a bunch of the Haven fans were talking about an invite-only party they had the night before. I wasn't so much of a fan that I knew about it. But for that kind of thing, yeah, you'll get, you know, something that you would only get at the con. But otherwise, some of the smaller cons will give you some of the smaller panels that are just as good. Mm-hmm. And for the really big stuff, unless you do want to sit in line to just sit in this really huge room and look at TV screens anyway.
Yeah.
Or a chance to ask the question if you're like lucky and get up to the mic really quick. I think YouTube is just as good.
So talking of YouTube, I have some comments on things that might be worth checking out for listeners. The if you're an X-Files fan, the 20th anniversary panel is online. I'll link to all of these. It's kind of awesome, especially if you're like a hardcore fan, because there's a lot of sort of inside talk. And it's really totally kind of awesome.
Was there any of the Lone Gunman on it?
No.
Okay, but I don't need to watch it.
No, you do.
I do. Because
the creators of The Lone Gunman are there, and there is a lot of talk about The Lone Gunman.
I love The Lone Gunman.
And the casting, and how that whole show came about.
Oh, I know.
And it was really fun. But that's the thing. It's really for fans only. Like, it's not really, like, the kind of thing that, like, if you're going in and you're just a casual watcher, you've seen a couple of episodes, and you're looking for, I don't know what, you're not going to find it here, but hardcore fans... There was a lot to love on this panel, including lots of Gillian Anderson putting the moves on David Duchovny. It's very, very funny because she's like, we never had sex. Like, sex comes up like at least a dozen times, always from Anderson, and she turns red so often. It's hilarious. But I'll link to that. It's really worth checking out. And I always forget that Vince Gilligan started on The X-Files, the creator of Breaking Bad.
Mm.
And he sat on the panel because they had all the writers there. And it's amazing. Just when they announce the writers, you're kind of like, holy shit, who didn't work on The X-Files? It's really impressive.
I still get a thrill when I see Tom Braidwood at the Canadian Tire around here. Like, oh my God, it's Tom Braidwood.
They have some fun stories.
Can I help you with that boxer?
Oh, what? That reminds
me. So small.
There was a panel called The Writer's Room, and it had a bunch of, like, show writers and showrunners. It was a great panel, and they talked some inside stuff on a show called Drassel.
Clueless.
Drassel kind of rhymes with castle.
Oh.
Oops.
Anyway.
I totally missed that. Yeah. And I watched Castle.
That wasn't recorded. So, I mean, okay. And that was a small panel. That was like one of those. Actually, people didn't get into that one. There was more of a lineup than there was to get in the room. But that was like one of those funny hybrid things. Like, mm-hmm. fans might have been interested in some of the projects that people had worked on, but it felt like it was as much someone interested in the writer's craft.
No.
Would be interested in. And those were the kind of panels I wish there was more of. Like, that's how you make the sausage is kind of part of my interest. And there wasn't
a lot of that.
There wasn't a lot of that. Yeah, it was mostly fan oriented. Okay. Like, I get the idea that Comic-Con is this funny combination of professionals need an excuse to get together, but it's too expensive. So what they do is they throw the fans a bone so that they'll finance it.
Okay.
So that they get an excuse to get flown in and otherwise justify getting together to do their yearly networking kind of thing. Like, that's what con feels like, you know?
That's
and
funny.
It's just like, yeah, we're kind of using the fans, but it's win-win because they're getting all of this stuff out of it too.
Yeah. The Hannibal panel is pretty good, though the Nerd HQ Hannibal panel is way better because it's the North HQ things. My understanding is I have no idea who this guy is. He's some dude. Everybody in the fandom seems to know who he is, but he puts together this thing that's sort of off the Comic-Con floor, and they do like special panels that you pay a small amount to get into, and everything goes to charity. And they did a couple of different ones. They have like a 2.5 hour Nathan Fillion. What's the other guy? Tiddick, Alan Tiddick talk. There's like two of them. It's like each is like an hour and a half long.
Nice.
It's ridiculous. I haven't listened to those yet, but the Orphan Black one is really good. The Hannibal one is really good. And Hannibal fans are ridiculously smart. Like, they are probably the smartest fandom I have ever been a part of. Like, quite honestly, it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, that was one of the rooms that they totally misjudged the size of, apparently.
Yes, Fanables. We are many and we are rabid.
I still haven't seen it.
And Bran Fuller is a god. And I think those are the only ones that I've watched so far that have been really, really good. The Spider-Man one was fun. Okay, the dog is doing something.
He's always doing something.
Yeah, but he's... Okay, the dog is doing funny things. It's very amusing to me for some reason. But yeah, there's a lot of Comic-Con stuff online if you're so inclined.
So would you recommend it as a once-in-a-lifetime pilgrimage or whatever?
If you're like me, like, I really enjoyed myself. Maybe I'm not excited enough to make you believe that, but I actually did. I had a great time. I mean, I went there and I wasn't sure, like I say, because the crowds and lineups, and I just, like, the day disappeared. Like, yeah. I got there and next thing I knew, it was like, I'm really hungry. It's like, holy shit, it's 6 o'clock. And that part of it was great. I mean, in terms of the hassle getting the tickets, which I didn't have to deal with so much thanks to a friend of mine, and the expense of the whole thing, I don't know that it was worth like all of the airfare and the hotel and the whole thing versus spending that same amount of money doing another event. Like, I think I might have enjoyed going to one of the film festivals or something just as much.
Mm-hmm.
But I had fun. So I would say that, like, if you're really a big fan and you really get into that, yeah, it's worth the trouble because they pull out all the stops.
Yeah.
You'll probably have just as much fun at some of the other cons like Emerald City. Like, they do a good job, but it's at Comic-Con that
everything is like,
they pull out all the stops. Yeah. They take over like 10 square blocks of San Diego and it's just a big fan. Actually, one of the best descriptions I heard was it's like Las Vegas for nerds. It kind of encapsulated some of that spectacle.
Yeah.
One of the other things, one of the Guardian reporters told this great story. Like, there's usually these, any kind of a large event apparently down there attracts these, Christian proselytizers. So they have their loudspeaker and they're usually pretty chill. I mean, it's just like, okay, they're doing street witnessing, you know, live and let live. So they're there, you know, Jesus loves you and that's fine. Apparently, some people had some signs that they were carrying that was causing a little bit, like this one guy was getting a little bit keyed up and there was a bit of tension.
Oh.
And yeah, he was like starting to argue with the people and they're holding the signs that I don't even know what the signs said that were anti-Christian, if they were even anti-Christian. But someone apparently in the crowd started singing like, "Joy to the World, Jeremiah was a bullfrog," and the whole crowd joins in. And that's kind of it's this big happy crowd.
Yeah.
And so in spite of the big mass of people and kind of the frustration you have with moving around, some never in the conference center for me, and even the trade show floor wasn't too bad, but there were a couple bottlenecks getting in through and around like San Diego. And that was kind of the only time that I felt like, God, this is just too many people. But the crowd, yeah, it was a good time. And the costumes, right? Just lots of really great costumes.
Lots of awesome
costumes. So, yeah, they pull out all the stops. If you're really into that, you will really enjoy that. If you're just kind of like, yeah, I enjoy cons, but I'm not sure. It's just like, yeah, don't worry about it. Like Emerald City, you'll get most of what between, you know, that and YouTube for the big panels that you might not see anyway if you go to Comic-Con.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would not sweat that you're like missing out on the experience of your life. But yeah, it's if you can go and you want to spend the money to go.
Yeah.
Cool.
You satisfied?
Yes. That was awesome. A perfectly acceptable answer.
If long, not long-winded, yeah.
No. Anything else before we wrap it up for August?
I cannot believe Sharknado is playing at the Rio.
Sharknado!
Wow.
Seriously, I'm thinking about getting a tattoo on my other arm of a space monkey riding a space shark, like a shark with a space helmet, Slim Pickens styles while plummeting to the earth. Seriously considering
Yeehaw!
It.
Oh my God.
It'd be awesome.
Actually, that sounds kind of awesome.
Space monkey riding space shark.
My favorite Slim Pickens story, the actor that played the guy that rode the bomb down, apparently at some interview or an event, when they're asked, like, how did you shoot that shot? Like, did you actually ride the bond? And he said,
oh
yeah,
my God.
I just jumped off before it hit. Only he did it in that, you know, that drawl of his that I'm not even going to try and.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Okay. So is that it? No, really?
That's it. That's it for
me. Until September? We realize that September means.
Hopefully August doesn't like completely. Oh, okay. Two other things.
So we're not.
Really fast. For Vancouver people, Vancouver Hackspace, they're having a, check their website, they're having a kind of intro to animation.
Oh, cool.
Stop motion animation on how to make the armatures and stuff for that. And they're also having a how to make chainmail.
Nice.
Session.
I can teach you.
Yeah, there you go. Sorry.
Forum One. That's all you need to know, Forum One.
I have no idea what that means, but whatever. That must be some technical costuming term.
Now I'm done.
So, stay tuned. We will be back next month. We'll probably talk some film festival stuff. Maybe not as much. We'll have to have a special show kind of towards the middle of the month when they start announcing stuff. If you're a Toronto person, the Toronto lists have started to emerge. Some of the titles have already been announced. Fantasia has already announced. Fantastic Fest has already announced a bunch of titles. So it is. We are in full festival pre-season.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to Whistler.
Yes. Oh, that won't be for a few more weeks, but months, hopefully.
Oh, God. I don't even want to think about December.
I don't want to even think about that until November.
Yeah, I need to start thinking about it in October.
Short of maybe buying an early pass, I don't want to think.
Well, I'm hoping August doesn't evaporate, for God's sake.
Well, yeah, so we'll see how things go.
It will for me.
Yes, you're going to go to RollerCon.
RollerCon!
Vegas, watch out. Roller Derby is invading.
I am anticipating this and dreading it at the exact same time.
I'm looking forward to your check-in in September when we talk again, how it went.
I suspect it's going to leave psychic scars on me for all time.
I hope you come back without liver failure.
I'm starting to think maybe I don't drink at all, because some of the stuff I've been hearing and
it's a little scary. Eh?
Yeah, it's part of me is getting flashbacks from my time as security at Burning Man.
Remind me to talk to you about Burning Man. All right. But okay, we'll wrap things up. Be sure to come on by roll3.com. Check out the links to all the trailers, and we'll post some of the Comic-Con stuff that I mentioned. And we will be back in a couple of weeks with the September preview. So until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
Straight boys! Straight boys!
I'll just give a minute of silence so I can edit out.
In memory of those we've lost.
No, just so it's easier to cut.
In memories of the movies that have sucked.
Yeah.